Morning. Will you please rise as you are able and join me in remembering the prophet's words as found in the call to worship. The Lord guides us continually. In gracious generosity, the Lord shall make us be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail.
Thanks be to God. Let us worship our God of great and wondrous blessing.
Our hymn is number 466, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Let us confess whose we are. Almighty God, how all righteousness others, but we have not acknowledged the sin of our lives. We have worshipped you with our lips, but have dishonored you with our actions.
We have prayed for you to end suffering in the world, yet we have not practiced compassion and generosity toward others.
Our religion has become the source of quarreling,
rather than a testimony to your grace.
Forgive our self-righteous and give us integrity of heart, that we may shine forth the light of your salvation. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In mercy, our God forgives our sins and grants us genuine repentance through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Seated. Dear Lord, we pray that as we read and meditate on your words this morning, that you will open our eyes and open our hearts to your spiritual truths. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are God our Savior, and our hope is in you all day long. Our reading this morning is found in Isaiah 58, verses 1 through 12. It can be found on page 688 in your pew Bibles. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce not to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake me, ordinance of their God. They asked of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all of your workers. Look, you who fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast I chose, to loosen the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. You vindictor, shall you go before you? The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in the parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in.
Table of the Lord.
That was quite a call, choir. Thank you. Come to the table. You know, we come to the table in response to God's word, God's holy word, and the word of Jesus. We come hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And we come as people, broken and hoping to serve, hoping to worship, hoping to love. Today's reading from Matthew picks up where we left off last week, chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. And in it, Jesus is inviting us to come, not necessarily directly to the table, but to come, be his child, his brother, his sister. And he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, last week, he told the crowds that each of them had been blessed. Not only that they are blessing others and will in the future be blessed. And in the cold gray of winter days, these were heartwarming words to hear. And today, as I mentioned, Jesus' inaugural sermon continues, and he utters several very succinct, memorable quips with which people the world over, both Christian and non-Christian alike, are very familiar. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, in the 1970s vintage musical Godspell, we heard this idea being turned into a hit song. The words were, "You are the light of the world, but if that light is under a bushel, you've lost something kind of crucial. You've got to be bright to be the light of the world." Remember that? Yeah, maybe? Yeah, these lyrics seem almost trite. But they do hold more than a kernel of truth. And when placed in perspective of the entire reading, we see Jesus is using them to strengthen and expand on his teachings about blessings. Yes, the meek, that is, the gentle, are blessed and will inherit the earth. The kingdom of heaven belongs to the poor in spirit, those who empty themselves. The mourners will be comforted. We see these people daily, don't we? But who are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness? And how are they, as Jesus claims, the salt of the earth, the light of the world? Now, remember, in ancient times, salt was akin to coins of the realm. When we say he earned his salt, we're remembering how Roman soldiers were regularly paid in the stuff. It was that valuable. So when Jesus is telling those around that they're the salt of the earth, he's saying that they're very valuable. And that is a wonderful thing. But there is more to his words of blessing. You know, I do like to cook. Not great, but I like it, and I like it enough to watch Cook's Country on TV. Not only do they show how to prepare spatchcocked roast chicken, they tell you the reasons behind the key ingredients in each recipe. Now, salt isn't something you want to just eat, right? Now, yeah, I see Larry. But when you sprinkle it on raw chicken, it draws some of the juices out, which then dissolve the salt, so it can sink back into the meat and enhance the flavor. No wonder Leviticus 2 directs the Hebrews to bring salt to the sacrifice table. Think about that. Salt, though, must combine and work with another ingredient to be good. And this idea leads us to that deeper truth in Jesus' blessing. Being the salt of the earth means being in relationships with others that lifts up lives. If someone is sick, a disciple finds ways to care for that person, just like Olivia said. If someone is mourning, disciples comfort them. If someone is being persecuted, and this is a tough thing to do, disciples stand up for them, even if it means they too will be persecuted. Sometimes it's one thing to claim you are a follower, and another to live as one. Tough things. Being a disciple, though, means finding ways to bless people in need. Jesus wanted everyone to know they are blessed, no matter their situation in life. But he also wanted his followers to help him break forth the kingdom of heaven to the here and now, and not simply wait for the end of times. To be the salt of the earth, Jesus' followers were to mix it up on his behalf with people who are needful, who are at war with one another, who are being persecuted, so that God can act through them to bring the kingdom about sooner rather than later. Jesus uses softer words in his statement in the sermon, but he's talking about the same things Isaiah did centuries before, and I'm going to reread what Lou just read. Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Dear, Jesus' blessing is really quite a challenge. After all, he tells his listeners that if they lose their saltiness, they're not good for much of anything. Ouch. But he doesn't leave the folks gathered on the hillside, including his disciples, in spiritual pain. He reminds them that they are the light of the world, that they shouldn't hide their light, but let it shine before others. Jesus believes they're filled with the light of God, and that light always breaks through hardened shells, be they clay baskets, as he uses in the illustration, or the human hearts that he's really talking about. Jesus is encouraging his listeners to allow God's light to shine through their good works on behalf of the sick, the poor, the oppressed, and the hungry. All who need God's healing and hope. Serving the needs of the least of these is anything but easy. Yet, if we remember Isaiah's prophecy, helping people who are living in difficult situations isn't something disciples do on their own. Hear now Isaiah's words again. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. This is good news for anyone whose physical energy or spiritual strength may be flagging for any reason. So, in case you've forgotten, the weather at Christmas was anything but normal, right? And that storm didn't even hit us as hard as it did where people live with lake effect snow up north. And usually those folks are pretty prepared. But something went crazy last Christmas up there near Buffalo. People got stranded at home, at work, and in cars on the road. One man had been driving to rescue a friend who'd called him, and that friend's vehicle had already become snowbound. And the guy's truck also got stuck. Well, he got it unstuck. And on his way, the guy who was driving there got stuck and then unstuck, I'm sorry. And on his way further down to help his friend, he noticed this boy trudging through the snow in tennis shoes. So he rolled down his window and told the kid he'd drive him home. And the boy climbed inside. The two moved along a bit further until the man's truck got stuck again and wouldn't unstick. This man worried about trying to keep warm, especially with the boy, without running his gas tank too far down. So he went out of the truck in the blizzard and knocked on 15 nearby homes, asking, begging for shelter. And no one would take them in. Kind of sounds like a scene from Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, right? Fearful of getting lost, the guy makes his way back to the truck and hunkers down for whatever was to come. And in the depths of that night, a woman from another stranded car behind him knocked on his window asking for shelter, so of course they let her in. The three tried to conserve fuel, but it dwindled over the night. And this is where the man got creative. Using his cell phone maps, he found there was a school nearby. So he grabbed some tools from the back of his truck and made his way over to the building where he managed to break a window, climb inside the warm facility, find the front door, prop it open, and go back to get his passengers to safety. Then, in the blizzard, he began going to all the other vehicles in the area that were also stranded. And pretty soon, 24 people 24 people, including a baby and a dog, well, the dog's not a people, had found shelter in that school. Yeah, he broke our laws, breaking and entering. But in saving 24 lives, he lived into God's law. Now, I don't know if he's a professing or a practicing Christian. What I do know is he acted as the salt of the earth and the light of God for the coldest of cold people. His efforts made a life-giving difference for each one of them, and I believe God was working through him. As modern-day disciples of Christ here in Zanesville, Ohio, I doubt that any of us will be called to risk our lives in service like that man. But as Christ's followers, we've been called to provide for the hungry and the homeless from the gifts that we have been given. We've been given the ability to make peace between warring parties. And if that's the case, we need to act on those gifts. If we can comfort those who mourn, we are to do so. If God has shown us mercy, well, we know then how to do likewise with those who have wronged us. And difficult though it may be, troubling though it may be, if we've been given faith in God's righteousness, Jesus might call us to stand in God's name with people who are reviled or persecuted. These are the actions Jesus himself took when he fed the 5,000 on the hillside, when he quelled arguments between the 12, when he came to Mary and Martha's side when Lazarus died, when he showed mercy to the woman caught in adultery. And you know, that could also be a way of standing with someone reviled by society. Jesus was never one to hide God's light under a basket. He let it shine through his every word and deed. And in so doing, he fulfilled the spirit of God's law and all the laws passed down from Moses and the Levitical scribes. So, with the words of Jesus in our hearts, I invite you to be open to acting on them when you're called to respond to someone who is poor or hungry or angry or is mourning, persecuted, or simply very, very cold. And remember, the Lord will guide you and make your bones strong, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You are blessed. Go out and bless.
Our affirmation of faith is going to be the Nicene Creed, which can be found on page 14 of our hymnal here, and we're going to be looking at the traditional one. Will you please rise as you're able and join me in the affirmation of faith? We believe in one God and Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of lights, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, our salvation, came down from heaven when he was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended in heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God. And the dead, whose kingdom shall be no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together worshipped, glorified, spoke of the prophets. And we believe the one, the Catholic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come. Amen. Our hymn is number 504, Draw Us in the Spirit's Tether.
Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." This is the Lord's table. It is not a Presbyterian table, and it is not our table. This is where all who believe in Christ may share in the feast our Lord has prepared with one another and with the communion of the saints. Therefore, let all God's children come from east and west and north and south to sit at table in the kingdom of God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. It is truly right and our greatest joy to praise you, O God, creator of the universe,
In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image to love and serve you and to live in peace with your creation. When we rebelled against you, you did not abandon us, but sent prophets to call us back to your way. Then, in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son to redeem us and heal our brokenness. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son. In Jesus, born of Mary, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He lived as one of us, knowing joy and sorrow. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, welcomed sinners, and proclaimed good news to the poor. Dying on the cross, he gave himself for the life of the world. Rising from the grave, he won us over for victory after death. Seated at your right hand, he reigns with you in glory and will come again to make all things new. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and all who share with this feast, united in ministry in every place and in every time. As this bread is Christ's body for us, then send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. O Lord, you have created us in love and called us your own. You have called us to be brothers and sisters of Jesus, and you have given us families and friends to walk with throughout our faith journeys. For these gifts, we are ever grateful. Hear us now as we pray for your body on earth, the community of disciples whom you have called to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, support the weak and lonely, all which help spread the good news of Christ's saving love. Help us to fulfill the mission you give us each and every day. We pray for the world and its leaders. Guide them throughout their service so their people can live abundant lives. We pray for those who are at war with one another. Guide peacemakers to their sides and lead them towards reconciliation so that they may live in quiet peace. We pray for those among us who are ill or struggling in any way. We especially lift up to you the Schumachers, the Hickses, the Fricks, the Keys, and the Taylors. Encourage them as they move through their days and let them know you are ever with them, healing them in the best ways possible. We pray all this as we join our voices with believers of all times and in all places, saying the words our Lord taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy According to Luke, the Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took an ordinary loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which has been broken for you. Take and eat, and do so in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do so remembering me." So whenever you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. Let us share this feast with the people, one with another and with God. This bread is the body of Christ, which has been broken for each of us. Take and eat. This is the blood of Christ, which has been spilt for all of us. Take and drink, remembering him. Let us pray together. O God, send us out from our Lord's table to answer his summons into new life and to follow him with joy and gladness. Set our feet in his holy way, that our lives may be signs of his life and all we do may show forth his love. Amen.
Will you please stand as you're able and please join with me and sing the hymn, "I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me."
Pray, sing, so God can use you anywhere and anytime. For you, all of you, are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You have been blessed and are blessing others in all you say and do. And you will be blessed. You are blessed forever. So go out into the world to bless the world, knowing, trusting that the Lord your God goes with you each and every day, that the grace of Christ forgives you each and every day, and that the community of the Holy Spirit draws you together in the Spirit's tether. Each and every day, you go not alone. Vaya con Dios. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels, God uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again.